City Zero RSA, how are you? And please tell me you got mail.
Come again?
I said, how are you? And please tell me that the U.S. Postal Service delivered some special mail to you.
Yes, it did. It did. I got them on a Monday. Either a Monday or a Tuesday. I can't remember, but I did get them. Thank you very much.
Alrighty, fine business. Man, that took a long time to get to Nebraska.
They both come the same day.
And they were mailed almost a week apart, Mo.
Yeah, I got them both the same day.
Wow, the Postal Service does not earn their money.
No, they must have waited till they had a whole shipment to get them out.
Do you guys still use the Pony Express out there in Nebraska?
Well, you would think so, the way it works.
Funny. All righty, sir. Well, I've got you on the log. You know you don't have to bring anything specific to the table, but you are number two on the log.
Well, thank you, Bob. Last Wednesday, it was so noisy I couldn't hear anybody, so I just finally just shut it off and went to bed.
All right, yes, sometimes the band really does not cooperate. Today's not too bad. I'm hearing you pretty good here in Ohio.
You're coming in here pretty good, too.
Well, hopefully the band will cooperate, so we will keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, you're about 10 over 9 coming out here, over.
You're about the same to me, Mo. My noise floor is about a 5, and you're about 10 over 9.
I got a 9 noise, and you're coming out here at 10.
As long as I'm making it over the noise, that's what's important.
Roger, roger.
All righty, sir. Well, let me get this kicked off. CQ, CQ, CQ. This is KAHJOY for the real, the great LibertyNet. Looking for check-ins. There's Mr. Larry. N4ROQ, how are you doing tonight?
Tolerable, tolerable.
What's your weather like in Tennessee?
Oh, kind of overcast and been raining for a couple of days. But not too much today. But anyway, I hope it clears up.
I noticed on the weather map there was a real large section of rain that was Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Virginia, West Virginia, and Southern Ohio, but we didn't get any of it.
Roger, roger. Well, yeah, we've had plenty, so hopefully we don't need any more, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we've had nice enough weather that a lot of our snow has melted and our streams are flowing pretty good, so rain would just make them fuller, but we're doing good here in Ohio.
Roger, roger. So I heard a friend out there in, Mo, heard Mo really good, so he's coming in good here in Tennessee. Good to hear you in there, Mo.
I can hear you tonight also, Larry.
All right. Hope everything, the band stays together. Y'all sounding good right now.
All righty. Let me see if I can find some additional folks. This is KAHJOY for the Real Liberty Net. I'm looking for check-in. CQ, CQ. Do the introductions and we'll look for some additional. So, good evening to all participants on this 75-meter LibertyNet tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974. Founded by Mr. Victor, W1WCR. This is the Arium net, not the Pyrite net. Thank you, Marty and Laura, for that. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the great, the real Liberty Net. I'll open by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, I'll open the door. I've got a few people on the list. Let me see if I have some additional check-ins. CQCQ for the Liberty Net. Over.
Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango.
Kilo Echo Zero, VRT, correct?
That is correct. And the name here is Bill in Joplin, Missouri. Good evening.
Mr. William, you are doing a great job in from Joplin, better than you have in the past. So how are you doing in Joplin tonight?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just had a beautiful day, even though I had to snake out my sewer, but it was still a beautiful day, and we got rid of that cold.
What's your temperature looking like there?
Well, I'd say we got about the 50s or 60s today, and we look to have 50s and 60s for the next 10 days.
Wow. I have some friends that are coming from St. Charles, and they're going to head to Ohio on the weekend of the 12th and 13th, so they'll have nice weather to travel in.
Yes, sir, I believe so.
All righty, I've got you on the list. You're number four. Let me see if I can find a few more before I kick it off. CQCQ, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Good evening, Mr. Ritchie. Do you have your amplifier on? Because you're a little light tonight. Over. Well, I have to say I hear you, and I hear you well enough that you're solid signal, but I thought maybe your amp wasn't on, but maybe the band will improve. It's kind of weird. As the 11 o'clock hour comes around, the band gets better.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm hearing everybody else, though, so like I said, just that between you and me is a little on the short side, so, or maybe long, I don't know. But I'm hearing everybody else, and I'm hearing Mo. Mo's really loud tonight. Good evening, Mo. Are you hearing me?
Good evening, RSA.
All righty, Richie, let me see if I can find a couple more and I'll get this party started. This is K-A-H-J-O-Y for the Liberty Net. Do I have any additional check-ins? Not being heard, so let me start it off. I have an article that was sent to me by spybriefing.com. The citizens of New Zealand have until this coming August to turn over a bunch of their guns or face jail time. This is the second time in the past few years that their government has forced them into mandatory gun buyback program. So, what do they have to turn over, the question mark? They have to turn over semi-automatic centerfire rifles, shotguns that are able to hold more than 5 shells, 22 caliber rifles that can hold more than 10 rounds, semi-automatic pistols that are less than 7.62 millimeter in length. I don't know how long that is, but, and more. Also, get this, if you have a firearm license so that you're allowed to have a gun in New Zealand, your doctor has to report to the police your health condition to make sure you can continue to own a gun. That not-so-funny thing is, all this sounds very similar to what Biden says he wants to do to guns in this country. So let me ask you, what would you do if you lived in New Zealand? Would you line up your guns and hand them over to the police? I know that many people would. Most people in this country don't have the stomach to fight for freedom. But it only takes a small percentage to do what's right and to support the Constitution to keep us free. Again, I understand that is a deeply personal question of whatever you'd actually turn over your guns to the government. But now is the time to answer the question and to plan ahead. If you choose to turn over your guns, then no prior planning is needed, and you can just wait until they knock on your door one day. But if you're not going to turn over your guns, now is the time to make sure that you have as many guns legally off the books as possible. Interesting. Again, all these countries, they do not want their citizens to be able to fight back. And that's exactly what America is trying to do to us. I should say, that's exactly what Biden and Kamala Harris is trying to do. With that being said, let me try one more time for some check-ins, and I'll start the list. This is KAJOY. Nothing heard. So first on my list was Miss Laura. So Miss Laura and Mr. Martin, good evening. Thank you for being listening in the listening mode. N2JTTF. And if you have anything you'd like to me to add, you know how to send me a message on NetLogger. So hi to you three. The next on my list then is Mr. Mo in the great state of Nebraska, coming in pretty strong to Ohio. KD0RSA, I'm going to hand the frequency to you. This is KA8JOY.
KA8JOY, well, I don't have much to say. Anyway, I'll tell you what I think. I think the election was a mess, and they cheated to do it. And now that they're in there, it's gotten to be a whiny, sexy, homo mess, as far as I'm concerned. And it's dangerous to what they'll do to the United States and our school kids. And as far as that goes, to a lot of adults like us. KD0RSA, I'll turn it back to you, Bob.
All righty, Mo. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. KD0RSA, this is KJY. Next is Mr. Larry. He always has some good stuff for us. So, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, this is KAJOY.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Here's an article in the USA Today that states that the vaccine effects mimics cancer. This is from the USA Today. It says doctors recommend patients schedule their mammograms before receiving a COVID-19 vaccine or space altitude appointments after some women have been mistaking swollen lymph nodes for breast lumps. These swollen lymph nodes, which are a side effect of the COVID-19 vaccine, can also show up in mammograms and other types of imaging scans. There has been a couple of situations where the patient went for a mammogram, and on the mammogram, there it was, said Dr. Harold Bernstein, a breast oncologist at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Lymph nodes are specialized tissue in the body's immune system that can contain white blood cells and help fight against infection and disease, according to the National Cancer Institute. They're normally the size of a lima bean and are all over the body, Bernstein said. But the most prominent lymph nodes are located in the armpits, neck, and groin area. The ones located in the armpits are most likely to swell after vaccination because they're closest to the injection site. They could begin swelling as soon as a few days after vaccination and could last as long as 12 weeks. Health experts say this is normal. This is normal. The increased inflammation suggests antibodies are protecting the body. So, This is looking better all the time, all these vaccines coming out. So you guys just really be careful and watch what you put in your body, that's for sure. Virgin Galactic delays next space flight test until May.
This comes from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Spaceflight company Virgin Galactic has postponed its X mission to space from New Mexico until at least May, after a December test flight was aborted due to computer malfunction. An investigation by the company found that electromagnetic interference caused the spaceship's onboard computer to reboot during the December flight. The Albuquerque Journal reported Thursday that triggered a safety mechanism that shut down the engine and forced the VSS Unity's two pilots to glide back to Earth. So here we go. Here's this electromagnetic interference coming out there. Who knows what might have caused that. Rush Limbaugh was buried in a private cemetery in St. Louis. Conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh has been buried in a private cemetery in St. Louis. His family announced Friday. Limbaugh's widow, Catherine, and his family said a private ceremony with close friends and friends was held Wednesday. They did not say where he was buried. The family said additional celebrations of Limbaugh's life are planned in the future, both virtually in the hometown of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. The Southern Missourian reported Limbaugh, who had lung cancer, died February the 17th. There's a large cocaine bust in Europe, the biggest ever. This is comes from Berlin, Associated Press. German customs officials have found more than 17.6 tons of cocaine in containers that arrived in Hamburg from Paraguay. Authorities said Wednesday another 7.9 tons of cocaine were seized in Belgium, and a suspect was arrested in the Netherlands. The Hamburg Customs Office described the find in the German port as the biggest quantity of cocaine ever seized in Europe and one of the biggest single seizures worldwide. The Dutch National Prosecutor's Office, referring to the overall haul, said that they never before had seen so much cocaine have been intercepted in a single operation. The drugs were found in a search on February the 12th of five containers from Paraguay that had been flagged as suspect in a risk analysis by several European customs authorities. Custom officials found the cocaine hidden in more than 1,700 cans. The freight document linked to the shipment was addressed to a 28-year-old man in the Dutch town of Valdegen, who was arrested Wednesday, prosecutors in the Netherlands said. So, these drug people are really shipping this cocaine all over the world. All right, we'll stop it right there, Bob. Everyone's sounding good back this way, and we'll shoot it to you there, KA8JLY, and the Liberty Net back to net in 4ROQ.
All righty, Larry. Thank you for the article. It's still sad to know that Rush Limbaugh is no longer going to be on the air. He definitely had an audience that was amazing. Going to miss him. God bless him. N4ROQ, KHOY. Next is Mr. Bill in Joplin. Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. This is KHOY. I'm handing it to you, sir.
Good evening, Bob, and everybody on the Liberty Net. Excuse me. This is KE0VRT out of Joplin, Missouri. And the first one I'm going to be reading tonight is out of the Washington Times. And I'll be adding a little bit of commentary at the end of it. Anyway, it looks like there wasn't the nuclear codes again. So a group of more than 30 House Democrats is asking President Biden to give up his sole control of U.S. nuclear weapons. In a letter by Representative Jimmy Panetta of California, the Democrats asked that their party's leader alter the command and control structure surrounding America's nuclear arsenal so that no single person can launch the weapons. Vesting one person with this authority entails real risk, the letter states. Past presidents have threatened to attack other countries with nuclear weapons or exhibited behavior that caused other officials to express concern about the president's judgment. The letter suggests such changes to the command of the U.S. arsenal as requiring approval also from officials in the constitutional line of succession, specifically including the Vice President and the House Speaker, neither of whom can be removed by the President if they disagree. The U.S. nuclear codes carried in the famous football allow the President to launch America's nuclear arsenal, a change that was made during the Cold War because nuclear weapons theoretically could begin and end a war within an hour before there could be any time to go through the traditional process of declaring war and mobilizing an army. Nearly three dozen Democrats, though, more fear a U.S. president starting a war on his own. While any president would presumably consult with advisors before ordering a nuclear attack, there is no requirement to do so, the letter adds. The military is obligated to carry out the order if they assess it is legal under the laws of war. Under the current posture of U.S. nuclear forces, that attack would happen within minutes. And, you know, that is just crazy. You know, the swamp creatures are after those nuclear codes again. You know, remember when they wanted him before Trump left office because he was dangerous and all? Now they're after him again because they supposedly fear one person in charge of launching a nuclear strike. So let's break this down. They're trying to fool us, saying it would be safer the way they want it. What it would do is leave our nation a sitting duck for a first strike nuclear attack. I'll give you a scenario. Russia launches all its nuclear missiles at the U.S. The land-based ICBMs take 30 minutes to reach us here, and the submarine launch missiles can reach their target in as little as a few minutes. And those sub-launch missiles are used to decapitate command and control, and that means Washington, D.C. The way it is now, the president can immediately launch a retaliatory strike. The way they want it, they will first have to call a special meeting, get those involved at those meetings. That would at best take several hours. Several hours at best just to get started on a debate to retaliate against a strike that's arriving in 30 minutes or less. There's no chance in hell we'd even get our missiles out of the ground before they get blown up. They know this, and even if they didn't, there damn sure is somebody at the Pentagon that would know it, that would inform them of their fact. But that being said, I'm pretty convinced from the simple reasoning that they want those nuclear codes because they want to use them. It's a good way to achieve the goal of a world population at 500 million, especially if the elites can have access to vast underground facilities, and they do. I mean, really, anyone know what the world population was during medieval times? Wonder how close it is to 500 million. Because an all-out nuclear war in less than a few years would reduce world population to medieval levels. And I know it sounds crazy, but the people we're dealing with are really crazy. And they have access to vast underground facilities full of everything you would need to hole up for over a decade and restart civilization. The Great Reset, like they talk about, you know? And remember, narcissists and sociopaths always tell on themselves. And lastly, here's another benefit to another nation if they were to pull this off. You know, China. You know, they're primarily got land-based ICBMs, and they're liquid fuels that can't sit on standby. They have no first strike capability. They have to be fueled before launching, and it takes several hours. And they don't have the first strike capability because of that. However, if these Democrats get their way, it would mean that China would be able to have a first strike capability without having to upgrade their land-based ICBMs. I mean, that's just really, it's really got me scared, you know, because I think they're planning on using that to thin the population out, like they always talk about. Anyway, that's all I have on this first round here. Back to you, KAJOY. This is KE0VRT out of Joplin, Missouri. Back to you.
Well, Bill, that's some interesting stuff. And, yeah, they were all nervous about President Trump starting something, but I'm not really sure why, but I know that President Biden has bombed Syria, so you're right. There's too much scariness with those codes, over.
Roger that, and you know, it's like these people are very diabolical and, well, just evil, you know. It's I really feel uneasy about that whole thing.
Roger. Well, thank you for bringing that to the table. Next on my list is Mr. Richie, KB2DMD, KAHJOY.
Yeah, hi, Bob. KAHJOY, KB2DMD, Richie. Yep. Right there. These are very evil people. And it's hard for a normal person to just even fathom the depth of the evil, Bob. thing, and even back when Slick Willie was president, you know, his policy was that we would absorb any nuclear strike against the United States. We just absorbed it. The fact that they can even pretend to talk rationally about something like thermonuclear war, it just shows how depraved they really are. You know, these people are nothing. They're powered completely by hate and loathing. Every decent value, they immediately lash out and attack them. Good and decent. Oh, Jefferson, the slave owner. Washington was a slave owner. But, you know, look at the moral character of the people that are actually slaves. They actually have zero. They're either slave people at a teleportation, they're pro-harvesting baby parts, they're pro some very deviant technology.
Let me turn on the SPR,
after I type it in here and see if I can hear you better on an SDR, because it's really hard to pick you out this way. So I've got it in NetLogger. Mr. Richard in Paris, let me go down to the SDR and turn it on. I'm going to hand the frequency to you. Go ahead, please.
Oh, it's okay. I don't have anything. I just wanted to check in, and I just like to listen. I get all my information off the internet, and it's all the same. I mean, everything I hear you guys talk about, it, you know, is stuff that I've heard on. Well, it's not YouTube anymore, because all these people that I listen to, they've been kicked off of YouTube, but they have their own. They have their own websites. So I just wanted to be, you know, I don't have anything to add. I just wanted to be in here. WD8AYC, go ahead.
You said you didn't have anything to add. Go ahead there.
All righty. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Richard. I can hear you really good in Massachusetts on an SDR. So WD8AYC, I appreciate that. I'm going to throw out an article that's from Trending Politics, and then I'll look for some check-ins before we start over. It's kind of cute. It's Kamala Harris is upset with President Biden. The first major rift in the Biden-Harris administration has arisen over the Syrian airstrike that President Biden ordered on Thursday night. President Biden informed Putin about his plan to bomb Syria before he told Kamala Harris. Now, didn't they bitch and carry on that Trump was too nice to Putin, so our current president tells Putin before he tells the vice president? Huh. Putin got the call just before the bombing, while Harris learned about it afterwards. The Washington Post reports that Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov accounted for the Biden administration notification. Our military was warned 4 to 5 minutes in advance. Of course, this has no value, even with the angle of deconfrontation, as they say in relations between Russia and U.S. servicemen. Lavrov told a Moscow news conference. He said the U.S. notice was given when the airstrike was already being delivered. He referred to the communications between the U.S. and the Russian militaries to deconflict Syria airspace to avoid clashes between their air force. And John Posobiec of OANN, don't know what that is, has noted that Kamala Harris was very upset by not being told about the airstrikes. The Biden power play represents a deliverance from the early reports that Harris has taken the wheel of the administration, particularly when it comes to foreign policy. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke today with President Emmanuel Macron of France and expressed her commitment to strengthen bilateral ties between the United States and France and to revitalization and transatlantic alliance. Vice President Harris and President Macron agreed on the need for close bilateral and multilateral cooperation to address the COVID-19. Yeah, we'll give them money too, like everybody else. The National Pulse also reported that Harris spoke with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau without Biden. This is not typical behavior, especially considering what Joe Biden was doing that weekend, playing Mario Kart. Don't know what that is. It looks like Biden is pivoting from playing Mario Kart to playing Drone Strike Commander. But in all seriousness, we have to be careful assuming that Harris is telling the truth. This is some Game of Thrones-level deception coming out of the White House. Recently, Kamala Harris had to scold Joe to remember his mask. And now you're supposed to believe that Joe Biden is overseeing a complex military airstrike. Yeah, that does make me nervous, but, you know, they kept on saying about President Trump was going to get us into a war, but here Joe Biden is, second month of his administration, he's passing out bombs, so it makes you wonder. Let me say hi to Laura and Mr. Marty. N2JTT, N2JTT, and N2IRJ. And let me see if there's anybody new, and then I will go to Mr. Moe. This is KHOY for the Liberty Net. Nothing heard. Let me go back to Mr. Moe, KD0RSA, in the great state of Nebraska. What's he got for us on round number two, sir?
KD0RSA. Well, I got a question. I've heard our ex-president, Donald J. Trump, will be give a speech at 2:45 tomorrow afternoon. Is that true? KD0RSA, back to Bob.
I did understand that former President Trump, is speaking tomorrow on Sunday, but I don't know what channel he'll be found on. Maybe Larry or someone would know that already.
Yeah, look up Right Side Broadcasting, Mo. RIGHTSIDE Broadcasting. Right Side Broadcasting or Newsmax. Newsmax. Those are the two I'm going to look on and see if they're on either one of those there, Roger.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. KD0RSA. Back to net, over.
All righty there, Mr. Moe. Thank you, thank you. And we hope you find it, because I'm going to go look for it. Mr. Larry, I'm going to hand it back to you, sir. N4ROQKHJOY.
Okay, thank you. I'm getting on my computer here, and I'm going to try to read this blabber buzz. I really like blabber buzz. It's good on the internet here. It says, Trump made it a point to punish cities that go lightly on anarchists. Now Joe is rewarding them. President Biden this week removed many executive orders issued by former President Trump, including one that called for a review of funding supplied to so-called anarchist cities. Since taking office last month, Biden has canceled dozens of Trump's orders and declared dozens more of his own, as he has tried to target foundational aspects of former President Trump's legacy and improve aspects of his own agenda without going through Congress. In the latest Biden effort, he launched an executive order on Wednesday night to undo the review, which was arisen in response to violent and even deadly riots. Let me get back on that. That occurred in multiple cities. Moving on to, that says, cities that were designated by the Department of Justice as anarchist added New York City. Where it's moved off now. Dang on computer. It just does not like, computer does not like any RF. So I'm going to have to stop that and go to another one there, Bob. Okay, here's an article regarding the federal... the feds deport an ex-guard of concentration camp. This comes from the USA Today. A 95-year-old resident of Oak Ridge has been deported for his role in guarding a Nazi concentration camp in Germany during World War II. The U.S. Department of Justice announced Saturday. German authorities confirmed that Friedrich Karl Berger arrived Saturday for questioning, the Associated Press reported. Berger has been fighting efforts to deport him for at least a year. An immigration judge in Memphis held in February 2020 that Berger could be deported under 1978 federal law called the Holtzman Amendment because he's willingly served as an armed guard of prisoners at a concentration camp where persecution took place, the Department of Justice said in a news release. The court found Berger helped guard a sub-camp near Meppen, Germany, that held primarily Russian, Dutch, and Polish citizens, in addition to Jewish prisoners and political opponents of the Nazis. During the winter of 1945, the court found prisoners there were held in atrocious conditions and were worked to the point of exhaustion and death. When the Nazis abandoned the camp, Berger helped guard the prisoners during the forced evacuation to another concentration camp. The inhumane trip spanned 2 weeks and claimed the lives of about 70 prisoners. In an interview with the Washington Post last year,
Brother said he was a 19-year-old in the German Navy when he was ordered to work in the camp during the waning months of the war. He said he was only there for a short time and denied carrying a weapon. After 75 years, this is ridiculous. I cannot believe it, Berger told the newspaper. I cannot understand how this can happen in a country like this. You're forcing me out of my home. Prosecutors and Berger admitted he never requested a transfer from the concentration camp guard service while living in Oak Ridge, where he said he had made a living building wire stripping machines. He continued to receive a pension from Germany based in part on his wartime service, according to the release. An index card recovered from a sunken ship helped build the case against Berger, the Washington Post reported. The card, which contained details of Berger's work, was among 2,000 stored on a German ship that was bombed by British planes in 1945. Berger moved to Canada after the war, then came to the U.S. in 1959. German prosecutors said in December that they had been unable to refute Berger's account, that he did not observe any abuse at the concentration camp. The Associated Press reported the prosecutors said they would take another look at the case when Berger was returned to Germany. So Berger is 95-year-old resident of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is not very far from where I live here. And he's being deported back to Germany, according to this article. So I thought that was interesting. You never can tell. They can come and get you at any age. It says GOP in Florida is seeking to adjust the voting rules. And this was, this state was a model for mailing ballots in 2020. Tallahassee, Florida. Florida was a model citizen when it came to elections in 2020. The state showed off its years of voting reforms, even as Donald Trump rallied against voting systems elsewhere. He praised Florida and urged his supporters to trust its vote-by-mail system, and the results were reported quickly and accurately. Turnout soared. It was all overseen by GOP officials, and Trump won. Continued Republicans' growing dominance in the state. Yet 3 months later, Florida Republicans have set out to overhaul the state's voting system anyway. GOP Governor Ron DeSantis said on Friday proposed an array of voting changes, and state lawmakers have introduced legislation that makes it harder to vote by mail. To explain the efforts, Florida Republicans point not to the evidence of problems, but to the potential for voter fraud and suspicion about the process. We want everyone to vote, but we don't want anyone to cheat, DeSantis said Friday. The push to change voting laws shows how deep claims about mass voter fraud spread by Trump have burrowed into Republicans' belief system. The party is now stampeding to solve a problem that most nonpartisan experts in court said does not exist. Their efforts are threatening to dismantle years of bipartisan moves to boost voting in several states, including places where the GOP has thrived under the current system. So anyway, the article goes on. I'll not read it all, but they are trying to stop a lot of this voting ballots that are sent in, and trying to work other things out, because there's a big way to cheat in these voting ballots that are sent in. They could be signed by anyone. You don't know who these ballots are coming from, and you know, it could be a big a lot of people cheating, as there was in the other states, I believe, in Pennsylvania and a lot of other states, swing states during the election. So I'll stop it right there, Bob. Hopefully the band is held up, and we'll shoot it back up there to you. So this is KA8JLY from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee, back to net.
Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHOI. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll say my opinion first. I understand that this gentleman is was involved in what they say to be war crimes, but again, it is war. None of it's pleasant on any side. He's 95 years of age. I guess at this point in time, I would say that that's foolish to deport him. What say you?
Yeah, I'll have to think about it a little bit.
One part of me says at 95 he should stay where he's at. And then another part says, well, he, you know, if he was found to be
a killer,
it doesn't matter what age you are, and you're a killer, then, you know, you got to be punished. So it just depends on what all he's done there. Over.
Yeah, again, but I stop and think about, you know, it's wartime. It just makes me shake my head and think, is that reasonable at 95? But thank you. I appreciate you saying what you were thinking. Mr. Bill in Joplin, KEOVRTKAJOY.
Thank you, Bob. This is KE0VRT. My next article is the Democrats plot to Californify all of America's elections, and it's out of the AmericanThinker.com blog site. Fresh from touting America's freest, fairest, and most secure election, Democrats and their allies have put election reform at the top of their congressional to-do list with the H.R. 1, the Commie Sounding for the People Act of 2021. So much for if it ain't broke, don't fix it. According to this biased report from the Associated Press, and I'll read it, Democrats feel a sense of urgency to enact legislation ahead of the 2022 midterm elections, when their narrow majorities in the House and Senate will be at risk. The bill, which good government groups have championed, is advancing against a backdrop of Republican-controlled states, seizing on former President Trump's false claims about a stolen 2020 election to push legislation that would make it more difficult to vote. Democrats argue that voters of color, a key constituency for the party, would be disproportionately affected. Of course, we all know why they think that, because they don't know how to drive, get on the internet, or fill out a registration form. Anyway, I'll continue on. It also comes on the cusp of a once-in-a-decade redrawing of congressional districts, a highly partisan affair that is typically controlled by state legislatures. With Republicans controlling the majority of state houses, the process alone could help the GOP win enough seats to recapture the House. The Democratic bill would instead require the boundaries be drawn by independent commissions. Every political player knows what's at stake, said Fred Wartemeyer, Wartheimer, the president of Democracy 21, a nonpartisan good government group based in Washington. There is a race between what is going on in the Republican state legislatures and this effort to pass federal rules to protect the right to vote of every eligible citizen, end quote. This raises the question, if everything was so Jimmy Carter on the up and up, why need to enact such reforms? The first step, it seems, will be to take away from red state legislatures the right to make their own election rules and count their own ballots. Those, incidentally, are the states that had no allegations of fraud and were able to count their votes in one day instead of 6 weeks, along with no found ballots as occurred in four solid blue Democrat-run cities. Punish the competent to take on the ways of the verifiably incompetent. Something sounds pretty fishy. Here's what they really want. Citing Congress's constitutional authority to set the time, place, and manner of federal elections, Democrats want national rules that they say would make voting more uniform, accessible, and fair across the nation. The bill would stymie state GOP efforts by mandating early voting, same-day registration, and other long-sought reforms that Republicans reject. The 791-page measure, which was first introduced 2 years ago, would require dark money political groups to disclose anonymous donors, as well as create reporting requirements for online political ads. It would appropriate nearly $2 billion for election infrastructure upgrades, and in a rear-view nod at Trump, it would obligate presidents to disclose their tax returns. So in other words, they want same-day registration, mail-in balloting, weeks and weeks of early voting, and probably ballot harvesting. All these measures up until this election have either been banned or frowned upon internationally owing to the well-known high probability and opportunities presented for fraud. Democrats have sent out all kinds of signs of having benefited from such fraud in 2021 instead of enjoy it while they can, legislating a way to get reelected. Would rather mandate their rigging through the country. If they get their way, watch the whole country turn blue. It's all part of what Time magazine tried to sell in its suck-up piece about elites moving to rig the vote as fortifying the election. Bottle some sewer water and rename it as perfume, and it's amazing how much you can sell, so the logic goes. And here's another thing. At least studies reported by Roll Call found that big money in politics was not a hot voter issue, and voter distrust of elections was completely unaffected by all the series out there on voter reform. It shows that this move is nothing but a naked bid to Californify all of America's elections. Competent states would be penalized. Incompetent ones would be models. Or, more to the point, they got in by fraud once. Now they seek to consolidate themselves in power through rigging. For them, that's a good thing. Free from the burden of having to answer to voters, they can then govern and legislate any way they like. And that's how communist tyranny works, too. It also says Democrats are running scared. They know the voters are going to throw them out after all their unpopular legislative actions. They're trying to stave it off by rigging instead of responding to voters' needs, which would get them reelected. Voters can see through this, and very fortunately, the AP reports that the measure is unlikely to survive the Senate filibuster. One thing it will do is draw a reaction. Let's hope the Democrats' boy finger is too small to hold in on that dike. And there's another thing that I've noticed here, and it's here locally, and I think it's been going on nationally. I think it took a big part of the national election. There's a local communist group here in town called Justice for Joplin, and they started this other deal called Food, Not Bombs. You can find them on Facebook, Food, Not Bombs. And what they're doing is they're helping the homeless, you know, and they're doing it for a reason. What they're doing is they're providing these homeless people with addresses that they can use to get IDs with and then later register to vote. Well, you know, if you register to vote, you can get mail-in ballot forms sent to that address. And what they plan on doing is filling out mail-in ballots on behalf of these homeless people. And, of course, homeless people, and I've been homeless before. I can tell you from experience, the last thing on a homeless person's mind is going out to vote. So it's a win-win, and there's enough homeless in this area here that they can use it to swing a local election. I think this is going on across the country. They're planning on taking over local elections this way. So just keep your eyes open for them local communist groups out there helping the homeless. You know, it's a great thing to help the homeless, but these people are using them for election. Election fraud is what they're doing. And that's all I have for this round. Back to you, Bob, KAJOY. This is KE0VRT.
Thank you, Bill. So basically, they're using the homeless as cannon fodder. Over.
Yeah, what they're doing, like I said, what they're doing is they're providing these people with addresses so they can get IDs. Well, then later they can register them to vote, and the mail-in ballots would be sent to those addresses that they provided for them. The homeless people won't be none the wiser, about all this. They'll be filling those ballots in and sending them in, and not the homeless people, but the people that provided those addresses. They'll be filling in mail-in ballots and sending them in, and it's just a big scam they're building up here.
Amazing how much scamming goes on in this country. It's terrible. KE0VRT, thank you. KHOI. Mr. Ritchie, I'm back to you, sir. KB2DMD, KAHJOY.
KAHJOY and the Liberty Net, this is KB2DMD. Well, thanks for that, Bill. You've gotten some really insightful comments to that tonight. And, that's a question that's been on for a while when they were engineering this giant fraud to install Joe Biden. Did they have anything left over to engineer the state and local elections that they're obviously going to have to if this thing's going to sustain itself with the squatter-in-chief? And I don't really know what the answer to that is. in my life like I saw for the 2020 presidential election. At our little gun club up the road where we go to vote, it took some 45 minutes for me to get inside the door. That's how long the queue was. And some people, depending on what time they arrived, waited up to an hour, maybe 2 hours to get in. And this was a story all over. These people were not there to vote for Trump. I can guarantee you that. Souls, but by and large, these people turned out in numbers that they've never turned out in before to show support for President Trump. What are they feeling knowing that the election was stolen from them? What will they feel when they vote to increase the Republican in the Congress? And see that the big vote has been stolen from them. And you really think people are going to go quietly into the good night and say, well, there's just no hope. I went to the polls. I did all this. So, there's unintended consequences to all this stuff. And I really think that can I be kind as the left?
Bob, I don't know. I'm thinking you're even hearing me, but I just go ahead. I don't have anything to fill in or anything. I'm just enjoying listening, and it's pretty hard listening tonight. But just go ahead, and I'll just stay here and listen. And I may not make it the whole time. I might not be able to stay in here for the last run there, but anyway, I'm here now and I'm listening. WD8AYC.
All All righty, Richard. Well, I am hearing you on an SDR in the state of Massachusetts. So I'm listening to you on a computer-driven receiver. So Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie, thank you. And I'm going to read, this is from Marty. I have to admit I've read it a couple of times and a little of it I don't understand. But I'm going to read it. This is from N2IRJ. I spent a decent amount of time watching documentaries on the Perseverance mission to Mars. Newly designed wheels no longer have Morse code projections of the spacecraft's origin. I don't understand that, but I'll read it again. Newly designed wheels no longer have Morse code projections of the spacecraft's origin. In theory, Laura and I have our own call signs on a computer chip on Mars from the InSight mission from years ago. Then his next comment is, InSight successfully landed on Mars on November 28, 2018. N2IRJ and N2JTT are stored on a computer chip there. At the same time, I urged all LibertyNet members to sign up and become a part of history. In the future, physicists, engineers, amateur radio operators, and other technical personnel who helped NASA will be remembered on a stone wall to be constructed. So I believe it's talking about the InSight was the Mars thing that happened in 2018, and I know nothing about that. I have to admit, I'm not knowledgeable of that one. So let me get my phone to let me in. And I read this last week, but I have to read it again. It has to do with, so the Democrats are pushing a 1.9 trillion COVID-19 package. 1.9 trillion. I'll tell you, Democrats and Republicans should be pissed off over this. But this is called the House Resolution 1, and it's urging for it to be passed. It is $1.9 trillion, and it has little to do with the virus. This is from Sean Hannity. The Republicans objected to several aspects of the bill, including its increase of the national debt, the $350 billion to help cash-strapped state and local governments. So states like California, Oregon, Washington, Minneapolis that allowed all the rioting and the destruction, they're going to get money to rebuild. That's your and my money. That has nothing to do with COVID-19. The legislation allows $50 million for environmental justice. It's Environmental Protection Agency and Environmental Justice. I like how we use that word, and that's really misused. More than $100 million is for the Underground Rail Project in Silicon Valley, which has been planned for years, but none of the money has ever been spent. So that is Nancy Pelosi's territory. $1.5 million for the Seaway International Bridge, which connects New York to Canada. That is a priority to New York Senator Chuck Schumer. It has nothing to do with COVID-19. $10 million appropriated to ensure the survival and continued vitality of the Native American languages during and after the public health emergency. Now, I'm not sure, but I don't think COVID-19 is doing anything to dissolve the Native Americans' language. Another $10 million that's poorly spent. Nearly $500 million is as for CBO puts grants to fund activities related to the arts, humanities, libraries, and museums. $500 million of your money. What does that have to do with COVID-19? $40 billion to higher education. $40 billion. $750 million for the Centers for Disease Control to be spent on global health problems and vaccinations. Global does not mean America. That means other countries. What does that have to do with Americans and COVID-19? and more than $1 billion will be towards socially disadvantaged farmers and related groups, including an equity commission, agricultural training, and other assistance to advance racial justice in farming. Now, guys, you got to know, farming's hard. I'm not a farmer. It's a lot of hard work. So a lot of these people that are racially injustice, they don't want to do that kind of hard work. So why are we giving $1 billion towards that? And don't forget the last thing in this package, $15 minimum wage, which would do away with immediately 1.4 million jobs if they increase the minimum wage to $15. So there you are, a COVID-19 package that has over 90% of the COVID-19 package has nothing to do with COVID-19. All righty, I've got off my high horse. Back to Mr. Moe for the 73 round. Mr. Moe, KD0RSA, KAHJOY.
KAHJOY, KD0RSA. I don't have nothing else to add. I'm just going to be sitting here listening. I do enjoy, I can't say as I enjoy what I hear, but I enjoy hearing what I hear. So I got some idea what's coming. KD0RSA, back to you, Bob, over.
Thank you, Mr. Moe. It's always a pleasure having you ride along with us. Really enjoy hearing your voice out there in Nebraska. And I'm so glad the mail came. And if I get anything else, I'll be happy to send it to you, sir. Over.
Roger, roger.
All righty, Mr. Larry. N4ROQ, this is KAHJOY.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Let's see what we can come up with. There's a judge bans the enforcement of Biden's 100-day deportation pause. This comes from Houston, Texas. I think I talked about this a little bit the other day. There's a good article in here. It says a federal judge on Tuesday indefinitely banned President Joe Biden's administration from enforcing the 100-day moratorium on most deportations. Joe Biden's wanting to stop any kind of deportations of these illegal aliens from Mexico, all these other foreign countries. He's wanting to stop them from shipping them out of here. U.S. District Judge Drew Tipton issued a preliminary injunction sought by Texas. So Texas, the state of Texas, wanted this injunction to take away this moratorium on shipping these illegals out, which argued the moratorium violated federal law and risked imposing additional costs on the state. Biden proposed the pause on deportations during his campaign as part of a larger review of immigration enforcement in an attempt to reverse the priorities of former President Donald Trump. So they're wanting to keep all these illegals in here no matter what they've done and not ship them out. That's the Biden administration. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, he's testifying at a House hearing, looks like. It says he acknowledged failures in his delivery of holiday mail in an appearance Wednesday on Capitol Hill, but blamed the delays on the coronavirus pandemic and what he said were long festering problems within the U.S. Postal Service. DeJoy, a longtime Republican donor and ally of President Donald Trump, stirred outrage shortly after he was named Postmaster General in May of 2020. Let's see. While Democrats questioned the hearing of the House Oversight Committee, DeJoy remained defiant, telling Representative Jim Cooper of Tennessee that he would oversee the Postal Service for a long time. Get used to it, he said. After the hearing, the White House announced that President Joe Biden had nominated three postal experts to the governing board of the Postal Service, which could increase scrutiny on DeJoy. The nominees are Ron Stroman,
a former Deputy Postmaster General, Amber McReynolds, a voting by mail advocate who leads the nonprofit National Vote at Home Institute, and Anton Hajar, the former General Counsel of the American Postal Workers Union. Lawmakers have expressed alarm over slow deliveries of prescription medicines and other items for veterans, seniors, and Americans who rely on the mail service as a lifeline. Tempers flared at the hearing where DeJoy was asked about the downsizing of postal operations and other cuts that may affect postal workers' benefits and salaries. DeJoy also was questioned about the service's operations during the 2020 elections and ongoing deliveries amid the coronavirus pandemic. Postal Service has struggled with financial problems as shipping rates have declined, and the service's obligations to fund health benefits for its retired workers burdened its balance sheets. As a semi-private entity, the service mostly funds itself through shipping fees. It is not taxpayer funded, but remains under the jurisdiction of the federal government. DeJoy pledged to put the Postal Service on better financial footing while ensuring performance. He said the erosion has been going on for years. DeJoy acknowledged that during the holidays, the service fell far short of meeting our service targets, calling operations during 2020's peak season a failure. So the article goes on, and we need to frankly confront the problems we face. Be candid and realistic about the magnitude of the solutions we require, and embrace the few crucial elements of legislation help we need from the Congress, he said. So that's pretty much most of the impact of the article. So I thought that was kind of interesting. They're still trying to report on the Postal Service. And here's the FDA. The Johnson & Johnson one-dose vaccine is out, looks like, and they're expected to approve it. I'm not sure if it's already approved yet or not, but it probably is. This is Johnson & Johnson, J&J. Detailed information on a Johnson & Johnson candidate vaccine for COVID-19 raises no safety concerns, according to a report released Wednesday. The Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee is holding an all-day meeting Friday to review the data and is likely to give the vaccine a thumbs up, leading to an expected FDA authorization for the vaccine in adults within the next few days. The J&J vaccine differs from the two already authorized because only one shot is recommended instead of two. The company also is studying a two-dose regimen, which might prove more effective or more durable, in which case people might be encouraged to get a booster shot at some point. The FDA Advisory Committee called the Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee is expected to sign off on the vaccine because it seems to meet all FDA's criteria. So the article goes on. It's got a lot about Moderna and Pfizer. And my view on this vaccine stuff, leave it all alone and take your chances with this. If you've got a good immune system, I don't think you're going to have any problem. If you've got a lot of other problems, you know, I'm not sure what this vaccine is going to do to you. It can possibly give you cancer or autoimmune disease in the future. If you want to chance that, you know, it's your prerogative to go ahead. If you think that you, I think most people in most studies say that if you're vaccine free, if you don't have any vaccines, you're going to be much healthier in the future. So just remember that. So back to you there, Bob, from KA8JY from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee. Back to Matt.
Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHOI. I heard tonight on the news that the FDA has approved the Johnson & Johnson, and they claim
claimed that it's 90% effective against the virus and 100% effective against death. Now, in such a short time that they've had to get this vaccine ready, I don't understand how they can make that claim. What do you think? Over.
I just don't trust any vaccines. There's been a lot of doctors come out against them. They've got aluminum particles in them, especially the ones that are mess with your DNA. There's some of these vaccines mess with your DNA, and possibly some might not. But you want something to mess with your DNA, possibly can cause cancer in the future and cause autoimmune diseases. No way. There's just too much unknown. They want to put you a chip. The future is everyone is going to have a chip in their body, and this is what they want to be able to tell where you're at and to control you in a lot of different ways with that a chip that they're going to inject in you. So just to remember, I don't know if this vaccine's got a chip in it or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if it does. So I would stay away from it. There's very little chance for most people to die from this disease. They're putting down anyone that has the flu or falls over from a heart attack. They're putting down on the death certificate, COVID-19. So this is all a gimmick, I believe, for the most part. And I think it's, they say, oh, you know, you're liable to die from this, so you got to take this vaccine that we've worked up, and you've got to take it. You know, it's just real suspicious to me. So back to you, Bob, in Florida. Okay.
I agree with you, Larry. I will not take the vaccine, but boy, they sure are pushing it hard. And it does make me nervous about that nanotechnology. I'm not sure where they're going with that. So it's kind of frightening. Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHOI. Down to Mr. Bill, Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. What do you have to say on the 73 round, Mr. Bill?
Well, Bob, I want to bring up something about the $15-hour minimum wage increase they're wanting to do. And we all know what that's for. You know, it's going to be killing small businesses, and it's exactly what their big donors want, is to get rid of the small competition. However, Senator Josh Hawley announced a bill that would require companies that make over $1 billion in annual revenue to be subject to a $15-hour minimum wage. For decades, the wages of everyday working Americans have remained stagnant while monopoly corporations have consolidated industry after industry, securing record profits for CEOs and investment bankers. Hawley said, mega corporations can't afford to pay their workers $15 an hour, and it's long past time they do so. But this should not come at the expense of small businesses already struggling to make it. Hawley's plan would also require the minimum wage at these companies to be indexed to the federal median wage beginning in 2025. Any business with less than $1 billion in annual revenue would not be directly affected by the bill, according to Hawley's office. Small business employees earning less than $15 an hour would benefit from Senator Hawley's recently introduced blue-collar bonus, which would provide a bonus to every worker making below the median wage directly through an automatic advanceable tax credit tied to hours worked, Hawley's office said in a statement. Hawley's bill aims to protect small businesses from a minimum wage hike that they could not afford, which experts warn is a tool large corporations would use to target their smaller competition. Amazon, for example, has been lobbying for a $15-hour minimum wage since 2018, seemingly as a strategy to disadvantage their rival. It may sound a little cynical, but it's probably pretty accurate that Amazon sees this as a tool to help it essentially drive a wedge against competitors, specifically against small competitors, economist Michael Farron explained in an interview. And, you know, that is really ingenious. You know, I'm not really for a minimum wage increase at all. But, you know, the way Hawley did this one right here is, you know, that those big companies are going to turn that down after they've been saying, we want $15 an hour minimum wage. Well, they're going to turn down Hawley's proposal because it protects small businesses. And that's going to make it obvious to everyone out there what that $15 hour minimum wage is really for. So kudos to Mr. Hawley, and I'm proud to say that he's going to be here in Joplin next weekend, and I'm going to go see Josh Hawley, and I watched him on CPAC last night. I think so far that he's been the best one to speak so far at CPAC. So back to you, Bob. 73s to everybody here on the net, and we'll catch you next week. KAJOY, this is KE0VRT out of Joplin, Missouri. 73, everybody.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for that information on that minimum wage. It is definitely a job killer for small businesses. KEOVRT, KHOI. Mr. Richie, KB2DMD, KHOI, it's up to you. Well, I don't hear Mr. Richie. Does anybody else hear him? How about you, Larry?
No, I don't hear him.
Okay. Well, let me take it down to Richard in Paris, Ohio. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie. Let me go to the STR so I can hear you. Nothing heard. Well, let me see. I got something from Mr. Marty, and it says, Insight's Rover vehicle had tires which not only had normal tread but also incorporated projections of Morse code that would leave witness marks on the Martian soil. Ah, now I understand what he's saying. Okay. Along with the tutorial for Morse code description, it would tell aliens that this craft came from planet Earth. This is similar to the objective on the Voyager spacecraft. The Voyager plaque showed a naked man and a woman to symbolize the human race. Behind them was the craft to scale. Also, Earth's location was defined by 13 quasar locations, even though only 3 would have been needed. Liberty Netters might look up Voyager plaque on the internet for more details. Dr. Carl Sagan deserves credit for this. Interesting. I like to think about the description of the naked man and woman. Hope she was hot. Well, I didn't hear anything from Richie or Richard. Let me see if I have anybody else for last check-in. This is KAJOY.
Richard, last check-in, but I've been listening. I've been fixing the radio for a call.
All righty, Mr. Frank. Well, do you have anything you'd like to add? Well, I'm not taking it. I don't think, I'm certain Mr. Moe's not taking it, and I don't think Larry's taking it. So, I think my daughter, she's with the hospital. She's delaying, but they're getting kind of insistent because she's with a medical facility. But I appreciate that input. Do you have anything else? I know you have one more thing to tell us. I was waiting for that, Frank. You'd have disappointed me if you wouldn't have given me that. You know that, don't you, over?
Sure.
All righty. Do I have anybody else for a late check-in for the Saturday Night Liberty Net? This is KAHLY.
I got one comment.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, regarding a regarding what happens with this vaccine to women, from what I've heard from on one of the ladies that was emailing me to me regarding a doctor, this might have been Simone. I can't remember Simone's something Simone. That might have been her last name. Yeah, she was a doctor in one of the hospitals, and she said that this vaccine messes with the placenta of the woman, so it could really mess up in childbirth quite badly. And she recommended she really didn't want anybody to take it unless they were, you know, 80 plus. She didn't think that she even thought that healthcare workers should not take the vaccine, because if something happens, this is an experimental vaccine. Remember that all these are experimental. They don't know what's going to happen in the future. They haven't tested it enough, and if a lot of people start passing away or start getting cancer or whatever from it, then, you know, you lost your frontline police officers, your frontline nurses and doctors and all these people. So, I mean, it's an experimental thing. And she said especially young women, it could mess up their childbearing years for sure. Anyway, I just do not believe that it's a good thing. It could have a lot of different things in there, like all kinds of DNA problems that hasn't been worked out. This is worked up really quickly, and even a defense contractor's got some nanotechnology in there. Who knows what they are put in? So just remember all that. That's from Pfizer and Moderna, I believe. So back to you there, Bob. Thanks for running the net. Really enjoyed it. Glad the band held out. And for our okay.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for that input. So now I have another little blurb from Mr. Marty. From N2IRJ, I was mistaken. It was not the Voyager plaque, but the Pioneer plaque. I'll email it to you. It's on Wikipedia-Pioneer plaque. All right, Marty, thank you. I'm glad I could throw your stuff out there to the group. I'll call one more time for any additional check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. This is KHLY. Nothing heard, kind of a short one, but thank you for joining me tonight and being with us. So as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening. And 73s to Liberty Netters such as Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, Miss Laura, N2JTTF, and Quintessa, W1KITTY, because they are absent. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country. God bless all of you. It's been a pleasure. This is KAHLY.